Hello and welcome to the Indoorsman 2018 edition. I am your New Year host and time-powered baby, Matt.
Time-powered baby.
You know, like at the end of the old year, there's the old man and the new year is a baby.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's a weird motif to New Year's.
I thought Easter was like new babies.
Maybe.
Anyway, I'm Cliff. And that I feel no different at all to 12 hours ago when, or 13 hours ago now, when it was last year, because the new year is arbitrary bullshit.
Yay! Yeah, I just sat at home and played video games and stopped my cat from freaking out at fireworks. So that was fun.
I watched a great game of cricket that we won easily and then came home.
Hooray! So it's been 2 weeks since we put in an episode because the Christmas gift that we gave ourselves was not doing our job last week.
Basically, due to nightmarish conditions around family and work requirements and holiday periods and stuff, it just didn't work out.
And laziness. I mean, let's not too crazy.
Don't get me started on the laziness.
So, yes, you're welcome. We're back for a brand new year. And so far, we've released an episode every week this year. So, you're welcome.
We're on a hot streak.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, being Christmas, I managed to play a handful of games. How about you?
I played some games too. Some games I haven't played before.
That's crazy.
Mm.
What have you been playing, Cliff?
I distinctly remember playing at least two new games. That's the second one. So the first game I played because Steam sales. Fuck you, Steam sales. I purchased Prison Architect.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, a pack with other games made by that same developer, whose name now escapes me. I can't look it up right now.
Good job.
Apparently. But, I played Prison Architect. I did not expect it to have a storyline. Have you played this game?
Very briefly. I think I bought it while I was in Early Access.
I think it might still be in Early Access.
Okay.
But I opened it up and thought, oh, yeah, basically it's just going to be like SimCity or, you know, various other Sim games. You just start with a blank slate and then you go through a crappy little tutorial and then you just go nuts and build your prison. But no, it's got story. It's like mobsters and prison murders and executions and all kinds of stuff that just hit you like right in the face at the start. Did not expect it, but it was very welcome.
Yeah, I didn't spend a heap of time, because I think at the point I bought it was very early, so it was really only the basic mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
I did check out a similar game recently, because it was on PS Plus, The Escapists 2, which is also kind of prison management, but breaking out of prison. Did not hold my attention, so being a prison is more exciting than being a prisoner.
Yeah, as we'll find out later, I'm a sucker for that kind of like sim kind of game. I do love me some old school SimCity 2000, and then a bit more recently, City Skylines. Big fan of that. So the Prison Architect, I found it very, very fun. It looks great. It runs great, as you would expect. I look forward to playing it some more, actually. I haven't had much of a chance with this whole holiday period and things like friends and shit wanting to spend time with me. Family. Chris. I know. Disgusting.
The worst.
I'm definitely going to play some more of that. The other game I picked up as well was Human Fall Flat.
Oh, Human Fall Flat, that is a very good game.
It is ridiculous, and we first started playing it as four of us, and the first thing we did was run up to each other, pick each other up, and throw each other off of the platforms and stuff. Because,
as you do.
You got to mess with your mates. We did a lot of that, trying to throw each other off of places, and then we played with a catapult for ages, trying to knock down Stonehenge. Turns out not an achievement. I was kind of disappointed by that. that's a pretty fun game. We had randoms dropping in, so I had to keep kicking the randoms because I forgot to set it to like a private-only game or whatever. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, I haven't done the co-op stuff in that, but I did play through most of the levels by myself. And yeah, it's pretty fun. Very basic looking, but that just means they've worked even harder on their physics stuff.
Yeah, it's very blobby and physicky and stuff like that. So if you're not into that kind of... I would describe it as like blobby ragdoll.
Yeah, you're kind of a beanbag person.
Yeah, it's so it's kind of fun if you don't like that kind of game or puzzle games in general. you're not going to like this game at all.
Mm.
But it's fun for messing around with mates.
Yeah, it's all kind of physics puzzles and fighting against how hard it is to control your little human.
Just put your arms in the air.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you've got. You've got sticky hands and a really weird walk cycle.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you can draw faces on your character, which is
kind of
pointless.
We did that. We actually did the webcam thing and put our own faces on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is, we had a lot of fun going back and playing Rainbow Six Vegas 2, because you could do that as well, and putting our faces in on that. It's always funny when you put your own face in a game, because it turns out like a horror movie, and it's amazing.
Especially on those weird little bodies, yeah.
Yeah. So I always pull really weird, horrified faces, and it just turns into an absolute, like, freak show of horrors. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have been playing a few games over the sort of extended Christmas period, because I have had some time off from work to try and catch up on things. Firstly, kind of out of the blue, 2 weeks ago, Accounting VR dropped on PSN, which is a virtual reality game by Crows, which is one half of the guys who made The Stanley Parable, and Justin Roiland from Rick and Morty.
Is that the game that's games within a game within a game?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's layers of VR.
Yeah.
This was Accounting VR Plus, I think it's called, which has some extra content compared to the original release. So there's an extra layer of VR and a weird side path you can go down. And it's fun. Like, I'd seen most of a playthrough through Let's Plays, but still kind of getting to mess around with it all is pretty fun.
From memory, if you think that Rick and Morty gets weird, this game gets weirder from memory.
Yeah. One of the early kind of levels of VR you go through, because basically the conceit is you start off working at your new accounting job where you have VR to do the accounting, which makes it more immersive. And as you go into VR, you enter another room, basically, where you can find another VR headset that you put on, and then another, and then another, and then you sort of have to work your way back out.
You're VR inceptioning your way through, basically.
Basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, so one of the early ones is you're in a forest with a big machine and a tree with a hole in it, and a little man pops out of the tree with a hole in it and just sits there saying, "Hey, fuck you, fuck you! Hey, fuck you, don't touch my stuff, fuck you," in Justin Roiland's typical kind of Morty voice. The extra stuff they've added, I don't want to ruin it, but it gets real creepy.
I'd expect nothing less from that game.
Yeah.
It seemed like almost a tech demo for a Rick and Morty game.
Well, and
just without the Rick and Morty, like, proper, like, hardcore theme.
And there is a Rick and Morty VR game, Virtual Recality, which is coming to PSVR. I'm very excited to get to play that because, again, it just looks like messing around with weird shit, which I've seen
some playthroughs of it. And yeah, it's funny. I think you play as a clone of Morty.
Probably.
To do stuff for Rick and Morty while they go off and do adventures. And because you got Rick berating you the whole time, because that's just how it is. And yeah, you have to do a bunch of stuff. And yeah, so Rick turns up every now and then to tell you you've done it wrong and to be better.
Yeah. I've tried to avoid finding too much about it because it kind of ruins some of the fun with accounting, knowing the general path.
Mm.
So yeah, whenever that drops on PSVR, I look forward to giving it a try. Outside of that, though, I've been playing a couple of other games. I actually finished games.
Ooh.
Like, multiple games.
This only happens, like, a couple times a year that you go through and knock out a bunch of games.
Yeah, right? So I've decided that because I want to sort of start clearing my cash a little bit, I've focused on episodic games. So I've knocked out a couple of those. And one that's not episodic, but I'll cycle back to that. So Minecraft Story Mode Season 2. The Telltale game.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't played it because, as we've discussed on the show, I played the first episode on PC, and then we were very kindly sent the complete season on PS4, which I went to move over to and didn't have a save transfer, so I was just kind of blocked up, not wanting to replay the same episode over again. But I finally just did it because, I mean, you can skip all the side content, just make the major decisions to get through it. And yeah, it was a pretty good little 5-episode arc. Definitely different to the first season. And I look forward to seeing where it goes, because you can have some pretty wildly divergent endings at the end of that. So how they would sort of pull it through for a season three, I don't know, unless they just choose to focus on a different main character instead of Jesse, who's the main character through the first two seasons, who is voiced by Patton Oswalt, if you play as the male Jesse, which is very good.
Maybe they'll just choose one of the endings is like, this is the ending, and just go on from there.
Wouldn't be a very telltale thing, because their whole thing is carrying through decisions, but I wouldn't be surprised. They introduce a big sort of wider cast in this season, so there's plenty of characters they could pull as a new focus character, similar to what they did with The Walking Dead, where you went from playing as Lee in the first season to Clementine in the second. Which reminds me, I still have to play the third season of Walking Dead.
I still have to finish the first season of Walking Dead. I've done the first chapter into the second, but it's been so long now, I'd have to actually go back and start the second chapter again.
Yeah, I've got New Frontier, which was the third season, and the Michonne three-episode thing to do, because they're making a final season in the coming year.
Not like a TV show that will go on forever and ever.
Yeah, with varying quality, apparently.
I have stopped watching, mostly because I wasn't really invested in it much anymore.
Yeah,
but I'll get a hankering for it and just watch all of it.
I don't know that I'll ever go back, and I'm fine with it. The same with Fear the Walking Dead. Like, the second season did not impress me.
I didn't actually watch the second season. Oh, no, I watched the first episode of it, I think.
But yeah, where they made dumb decisions on a boat.
I mean, dumb decisions in a location about things is the entire premise of Walking Dead in general. Every time they do something and people die, like, you did not have to do that. You could have done it this way and survived easily.
Exactly. So yeah, my Minecraft finished, Walking Dead maybe I'll get to. What else I did finish literally 10 minutes before we started recording this episode was Life is Strange Before the Storm, which is the prequel series to the original Life is Strange, focusing on Chloe Price, the badass who is hella rebellious. Yeah, it was really good. Like, they took all the lessons they'd learned from building Life is Strange, one of which was they never quite got their lip sync right, and they fixed that. And the character animations took about 30 steps forwards in terms of complexity and subtlety, which, amazing. When you have, like, fairly basic character models who can convey non-verbal communication, that's amazing. You have characters kind of mouthing and gesturing at each other in the background while other characters are talking, and you can actually tell what they're trying to do. And it offers two pretty distinct paths through the game, because you're playing as Chloe with her friend Rachel Amber, and the whole gist of the original Life is Strange is that Rachel Amber's gone missing. And you're playing as Chloe's childhood friend, Max, trying to help her find Rachel, along with some other time power related shenanigans. So anyway, you get to kind of form your version of the Chloe and Rachel relationship, which can be either close female friends or romantic. So, because it's kind of ambiguous what the nature of their relationship was, because Chloe was super invested in finding her, which you would be in either case. But never quite says explicitly, oh, we were besties, or we tongue-kissed all the time. So, like,
basically constantly. Kind of make up your own mind as to how close you are with the, or how close this character is to that character. Yep.
You can kind of define the relationship. So, of course, I went romantic because it was the more interesting one, and it's not something you see done in games a lot. And it was really good. Like, definitely never ever play this game before playing the first Life is Strange, because all of the stuff you know is going to happen colors your experience. But I loved it, and it was really sweet and also really well written. And even though the original voice actor for Chloe didn't come back because of the actor's strike, the replacement did a really good job, and honestly I stopped noticing it about halfway through the first episode. But also because I know that in the main series Rachel's missing, the whole time I'm like, oh yeah, they're getting so close, and it's really sweet, and it's funny, and it's nice, but I know you're gonna go missing, and I know what happens after that. So yeah, for my version, they kind of ended this three episode arc happy and together and really sweet. And then I will say, if you play through this, definitely watch out for after the credits, because there's a post credits scene that will fucking destroy you.
Is it the girl goes missing scene?
No, but it's a little scene that acts very well as a kind of foreshadowing thing for anyone who hasn't played the original series first, and B, as like a real gut punch for anyone who has. And I appreciated it, but also hated Deck Nine Games for doing it at the end. So, highly recommend it. Definitely. Maybe have the tissues handy. There's one more episode to go for like the deluxe edition season pass stuff, which is a prequel to the prequel, which is Chloe and Max on the last day before Max left town. So you kind of get to see where they were at when they were little and kind of separated.
Wait, so Max, they were childhood friends, Max goes away, then comes back for Life is Strange?
Yeah, so Chloe and Max were friends as kids in Arcadia Bay. Max moved away with her parents. And then at the start of Life is Strange, she's come back to Arcadia Bay to attend the fancy school, Blackwell Academy. And that's when she sort of reconnects with Chloe, who's
doesn't
gotten
like
very...
an evil school at all.
No. Chloe's gotten very angsty and kind of really invested in the fact that Max abandoned her. So you kind of have to reform the relationship, and that's part of the main arc. But yeah, so we now get the original, a prequel, and a pre-prequel to set all those scenes. And then there'll eventually be a Life is Strange 2, but they haven't said what it'll be about. But all of the phrasing for this pre-prequel is like, this will be the last time you play as Max. So I guess whatever they do next will focus on someone else. Which could be interesting.
Max gonna die in the first 2 seconds.
Possibly. That would be pretty harsh, though. So yeah, that was what I was playing earlier today. The one other game I did play after purchasing it over the Christmas holidays was Sonic Forces.
So,
because
tell me about furry version of you.
Oh dear. So I bought it because it was both on sale on the Nintendo eShop, and Nintendo eShop gift cards were on sale as well, so I got a double discount. I only paid like $30
for
this game.
That seems like a thing that someone at Nintendo would get fired for. Lowering the prices, and then lowering the prices of a thing that you can use on lowered prices? Ooh,
I don't think they have any real control over it. It was JB Hi-Fi doing it.
Well, you know, but still. That never happens for Nintendo stuff. Nothing is ever on sale in Nintendo land.
They've kind of shifted that in the Switch eShop. Like, they actually do sales now. And on games that you might actually want to play, which is crazy. So, Sonic Forces, paid $30 for it.
Still too much.
I built my little avatar character as a green cat, wearing just the worst clothes possible, out of the ones you slowly unlock. And oh boy, what a turd of a game. Just absolute garbage. In case you haven't heard me talk about this ridiculous game before and haven't seen it on the internet, you play as three characters during this game. Classic Sonic, who does all 2D side-scrolling levels. Modern Sonic, who does the run-forward levels of the modern games that are terrible. And an avatar character, who is your own Sonic OC that you build, who uses guns and a grappling hook. So you kind of cycle through these different characters over the 30 stages of the game.
Wait, why go guns and grappling hook when you got to go fast legs, you got sweet I can fly tails, and you've got I can climb shit with my knuckles, and all of a sudden it's like you're a creature that's in the same vein as all these other creatures, but now I've got to use guns and a grappling hook.
Yeah, the guns he uses are the Wispons, which were some sort of power-up from a previous Sonic game. I think the one with all of the crazy djinn monsters. I don't remember.
Once you go past Sonic and Knuckles, I have no memory. It's all just one blur of crap.
Blue blur. Yeah, so you rotate between these characters doing these different stages, and honestly, I don't think they playtested the second half of the game. It is so buggy and so bad, I couldn't believe it. Like, so the run forward sections, you're sort of chasing along a path, you have a speed boost move, you're constantly getting smashed by enemies because you don't have any way of seeing them coming to know that you need to attack them. It's shit. some of these areas you're on like spirals, which weirdly pushes you to the outside of the path, which is super annoying. If you use your boost move at the wrong moment at any point, you will be thrown off the track. You're allowed to use it to attack enemies.
Why would you let people do that?
Yeah, it's like it's on rails the whole time, except if you use your boost, at which point you will get thrown off the track. It happened to me so many times. Fucking annoying. And yeah, everything moves too fast with not enough kind of view of what's coming to be able to react appropriately. So you're constantly getting stopped by smashing into enemies and losing rings and all this nonsense. On top of the fact that they don't seem to know how to build a level that flows anymore. So even when you're not getting tripped up by enemies, you're hitting walls and platforming sections and all this crap.
Yeah. So I think the one of the real problems with Sonic games is the same problem that racing games have. You want the games to appear to go really, really fast.
Yeah.
But not actually go fast. So you can actually still have full control. And that's tough.
You need to have reaction time.
Yeah, there's certain racing games that look slow as hell and it suffers from it. And you've got some other games that it looks like you're going a million miles an hour, but you see like a little speck or you need to suddenly change because there's a car coming in front of you and you can do it easily. But you've got the illusion of going super fast.
Yeah, not a balance they've nailed, because when you go to your classic Sonic levels, which are 2D side-scrolling, which you'd think you'd be able to do... for one, the view angle is always too narrow. You're too tightly focused in on the character to see what's coming. It's lots of platforming instead of speed moves for some reason. And yeah, the enemies are the same enemies from the modern Sonic levels. So you have these big guys with guns. Like, nothing in classic Sonic games was an enemy that stood there with a gun and shot if you came close. Because that's not how Sonic works. Your spin dash is also, again, sidelined. You can't easily roll up into a ball and maintain speed. Anytime you spin dash, you slow down.
That doesn't make sense.
The dumbest shit. And, yeah, you don't have the homing attack like they tried doing in some of the side platformer games to balance off the new enemy types. It's dumb. Then you have your avatar character, who does a mixture of both types of levels. Sometimes 2D, sometimes 3D. 3D is dumb because you don't have the same speed as Sonic, kind of. You have a homing attack with your grappling hook and you've got your gun, but again, you're smashing into enemies before you can see them coming. And the platforming stuff is platforming instead of speed levels, which is just super annoying. The biggest problem, though, is your different guns that you can equip have power-ups, and one of the common power-ups to find on your weapons is one that, when you land from a jump, gives you a speed boost.
A speed boost.
A speed beast.
Hmm.
So when you land, you instantly sort of shoot off in the direction that you are facing in platforming levels.
Sounds like a great power in theory, terrible in practice.
Yeah, it killed me a lot of times because you can't change your weapon mid-level. You have to restart the level redo your specking. So yeah, I'm trying to do these platforming levels, which are very precise, and landing on these platforms and immediately shooting off into a pit. Not to mention, enemy placement means that if you get hit by an enemy and get knocked back, more often than not, you'll be knocked into a pit. Also, these bottomless pits appear in the classic Sonic levels, which is not a thing that there ever was. You'd land on spikes, maybe, but you wouldn't drop down into a bottomless pit and die.
No, there were... spots where you'd fall, like usually it would involve like jumping over water and stuff like that. Like you would jump out, like there'd be a waterfall in the background and you jump from one platform to the other and you would just fall straight down into nothingness.
But at least it was telegraphed.
Oh yeah, like you knew like something. I mean, platformers back in the day, like if you could not see a platform to land on, you knew you were going to die.
Yeah, what I'm talking about is areas where, for instance, two shifting platforms over a pit, fall down the pit, die, walk like half a screen to the right, you then have part of the level that goes lower than that. So it's not the bottom of the level.
Oh, okay, right.
It's just a pit. Fucking bullshit. So yeah, all of this adds up to crap. The boss battles are also terrible. Some of them are easy because they're just like running on a track, hitting the enemy when they get close. Those are fine. One of the final boss battles against Dr. Eggman, you have a big, like, multi-fisted giant robot. So, you know, it does the usual things. It shoots at you, it smashes its fists on the ground, so you've got to jump over shockwaves and all that kind of stuff. Standard fare. There is no telegraphing of the punching on the ground at all. So, also, the fists are framed off-screen at all times.
Right. So you don't know if it comes down and hits you, it just comes down and hits you.
Yeah, you have to die a bunch of times so you can learn the pattern of the enemy to then see where it's going to punch. The
same every time.
Yeah. Which is a pain. And then there's two ways to attack the boss, one of which actually gets through the boss quickly, the other which is like chipping away at a giant statue. Bullshit. And then after that, you have a section of that level where the enemy punches out part of the platform that you're on. Again, no telegraphing. And it generally happens right after you've had to get up close to attack the fist, which means you have no chance of escaping and you will die instantly. It's so bad. It also doesn't have an ending, which is awesome. It just kind of stops. And Tails gives a speech about freedom. And then everything's fine, I guess.
So what you're saying is it's George W. Bush giving the, like, mission successful or whatever it was?
Yeah, it's not great.
Where he says, like, we've done it, we've stopped terrorism.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next, and, you know, like, still 15 or 10 years later, we're still trying to stop terrorism.
Yeah. So, yeah, the game just kind of ends. You don't find out what happened to the bad guy, Infinite, who's kind of the driving force beyond Dr. Eggman. You don't find out what happens to Eggman. You also don't get the backstory of the evil character, which they hint at, except I think it's in a DLC pack that you get where you play as Shadow. That's, I don't know.
Bad.
It was design, trash. Man. Just terrible. And to come out in the same year as Sonic Mania, which was an excellent Sonic game, really just reinforces the fact that Sonic Team shouldn't be allowed to make their own games anymore.
Mm.
So yeah, I finished that, and now I will happily delete it from my Switch.
Awesome. But mostly because you can only hold like two things on a Switch, so you need to delete to make room.
I got so much space. I got an SD card, son.
Oh, sweet. So you spend an extra $100 to have room on your Switch to play games.
Yeah. Whatever.
That's a jab, Switch, because 32 gig is a fucking joke.
Yes, it is. So yeah. I've got like a 256 gig chip in there or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I've been playing. Some of them were good, some of them were bad. Next, I'm moving on to Telltale Guardians of the Galaxy to finish, I think.
I do need to finish that off. Well, I did think of another game that I played as well. Family Christmas. My cousin's kids wanted to play like some video games. They have a PS4, and they had Ash's Cricket on there. So we played Ash's Cricket.
Yep.
So we played like a 2-on-2. It was good, except the difficulty level was turned way down. So we're just hitting ball after ball for six. So that there's no problem with it whatsoever. And then we turned the difficulty way up and we actually had to play proper cricket shots. That was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I very much enjoyed it. I really, really do want to play it myself, but it's so expensive just because it's such a niche game. It will it will barely ever come down in price, which is a shame. Cause I'm not sure I want to pay, was it like 50 US on Steam for it? That's not bad. But
not great.
Yeah, but it is it's a big chunk of money. I was kind of hoping there'd be some sort of Steam sale, but no, like it doesn't go on sale at all in any shops or anything for Xbox or anything like that. It's still full stick price, so that kind of sucks. But yeah, it was very fun with what I played for it. So
actually, that does remind me of one more game I was playing over the Christmas period with family, because my little sister was kind enough as a birthday Christmas combo gift to get me Drop Mix.
Oh yeah, and how is it?
It's really fun. You can sort of just mess around with it, or there's like team or party mode games you can play. It's just fun listening to how it combines the different music stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 60 cards in the base deck, split between pop, hip-hop, electronica, and rock. So you've got kind of a mixture of different songs, and then you can get the expansions, as we talked about. I just had fun messing around with it, making weird mixes, because it sometimes ends up differently, even depending on which way you place the cards order-wise. So if you play the backbeat before the lyrics or something, it can sometimes change the tempo of the song, even though it's the same components. It's a lot of fun. I look forward to getting more cards to mess around with it even more.
Nice.
So, over the Christmas period, not a lot happened news-wise, so also I didn't write down any news.
I have a feeling that some things happened, but I don't think they were anyway. PUBG actually did hit its 1.0. Woohoo!
That's right, that thing came out.
And yeah, that's all I can remember.
Yeah. I really haven't noted anything down since the last episode. So, hey, how about, just crazy idea, just off the top of my head, right off the dome here, let's talk about what games we're looking forward to in 2018, Clifford.
Sweet. Just off the top of my head, I might think of 5 games that I'm looking forward to with some, honorable mentions, yeah?
5 games?
So
yeah,
four or so honorable mentions, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I think just, you know, completely off the cuff, I reckon I can come up with 5 in an unordered list of games that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe 3 honorable mentions, possibly 4 if I change my mind during the discussion.
Yeah, well, just off the top of my head, in no particular order, might be looking forward to, let's say, Secret of Mana coming out.
Hey, you know what? That, I almost, just, you know, thinking about it now, in the moment, that almost would have been on my honorable mention list if I hadn't, you know, theoretically limited it to 3 candidates.
In your head, like 20 seconds ago.
Yeah, like literally just now.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to Secret of Mana. I want to see what it's like when it's out. I'm a big fan of those old, like, RPG games, so I'd be interested to see what it comes out like. If you haven't played Secret of Mana, you probably should give it a look in.
Yeah.
Because it is one of those, like, those mythical RPG games that if you like RPGs, it really should be on your list to play if you haven't played it already. It's up there with the Final Fantasy, basically. Final Fantasy 6 or 3, depending on which country you're in when it released. It's definitely up there, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's being done by the same team that did a similar thing for maybe one of the Final Fantasy games recently. Because I remember it looked the same kind of style and everything.
Well, it's another Square Enix game, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like Final Fantasy Adventure 1, which was meant to be a different name or something. I can't recall it, but it's the same sort of graphical style and kind of upgrade that they've done to it. But it honestly looks like they're putting more effort into Mana. I'm looking forward to it as well, because I think it's coming out Windows, PS4, and Vita, maybe Switch. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll probably get it on Switch if I get it on anything.
Let's have a quick look and see if I can find what it's coming out on.
PS4, Vita, and Steam.
Yep. So I'll probably get it on the Steams. Or get it maybe on Vita, maybe. Give me an excuse to play my Vita, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like it on Vita for the portability, but I think maybe I'll end up going PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a very good looking, definitely like more polished than the other one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
And it's already a very good game as well. So hopefully it just makes it a bit more accessible, a bit more modern. Because I've got no problem with like old style graphics, but 4x3 is a very difficult format to play any game in now that we've been in widescreen. It's tough.
Yeah, I remember I never like played it to completion, because back in the day when I was working my way through SNES RPGs as a kid, you know, your Final Fantasies, your Chrono Trigger. Mm-hmm. I got to Secret of Mana, but I think either I couldn't find a decent, totally legal backup of it, or maybe I was just burnt out on RPGs by that point. This will mostly be a fresh experience for me, which I'm kind of looking forward to.
Yeah, I remember playing it a bit, but not a great deal. Like, I can tell you exactly how to play through Final Fantasy VII, for example. And I know the first chunk of Final Fantasy VI and V. But Secret of Mana, I don't really remember a lot about, but I remember playing it and it being very good.
Yeah. I'm glad that it's coming to us, because I think early last year, Japan got a collection on Switch that was Secret of Mana, Seiken Densetsu, Densetsu 3, and Final Fantasy Adventure, all together packaged, which I was really bummed to not get. I think it was just the original versions ported, but that's a really like neat RPG cluster to get, and we missed out on it. So it's nice that we're getting this. It's good. Again, blah, 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 funny riff just coming up with it as we talk about it. Honorable mention for me, just because it didn't fit in the top 5.
Oh, wait, were we doing honorable mentions first?
Oh, what were you doing?
Oh, that was off my list.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's just do the list then.
All right.
Okay, so yeah, off the list. Keeping with the kind of RPG top-down view feeling, Radiant Historia is getting ported to 3DS this year. And it might be the last 3DS game I ever buy. I played this game a bit on DS because I managed to get one of the cards. It was kind of a rare RPG. But, you know, it's DS playing on the 3DS. Like, it locks out all of your other functions, and it's all kind of slow because it was built for an older system. So I'm looking forward to this kind of polished, up-resed version that's apparently got some more content. Because it's a really cool, like, branching time travel-y RPG where you are a soldier in this fight between two kingdoms, and you get killed in battle early in the game. These two magical children pull you out of time, hand you a book called The White Chronicle, I think, which gives you the ability to work backwards and forwards through your timeline. So as you play through the game, you're getting to decision points where you can make the alternate decision, which opens up a new branch of your timeline, which you can follow through till it either comes to a dead end or branches off again. And there's even things where, you know, maybe down one branch you allied with a person and got some intel, but it ultimately ended in failure. So you played through that thing to get the intel, backtrack to a different arm of your timeline, and then use the intel in a successful branch.
So you're kind of playing choose your own adventure, where you like you play through and get to the end, and then you track back to the previous one and then actually go again from there if you failed.
Exactly. You're playing a choose your own adventure book the way actual children played choose your own adventure books, which is constantly backtracking to get the right ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the characters are all kind of interesting. They've got, you know, themed accents and stuff like that. And this time I think it's going to have voice acting, which will add a new layer to the game. I'm just really looking forward to it because I fucking love time travel games.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
Mm. If done right. And this one felt like it was done right. Just maybe too late in an older generation's lifespan to be enjoyable. Yeah, so Radiant Historia, it's got some extended title because it's a remake.
Of course, but
it's Radiant Historia. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Cool. Another one off my list. There's probably one that's on your list, I'm almost certain. Red Dead 2. Assuming it comes out this year.
Yeah, I didn't include that because there's nothing to say that it's going to come out this year.
I had it on my list last year because the theory was that it might have come out this year, but of course pushed back. I hope it comes out this year, and if it does, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I definitely. From what little we've seen of it, it looks amazing. I mainly, when sort of building my list, I went through the 2018 in video games article on Wikipedia for the titles that are listed as sort of planned or expected for 2018. Out of curiosity, I did look at the 2019 in video games thing and realized that a lot of the games I'm looking forward to will not be coming out in the next 12 months. Especially In the Valley of the Gods, which I'm really looking forward to, the new game by Campo Santo, who did Firewatch. But also a fuck ton of other games, like guess what's on that list? Actually, I'm not going to say it because it might be on your list for this. Metroid Prime 4 is going to be 2019 though, which is a bummer.
But let's talk about 2019 games in 2018, or at the start of 2019.
Yes.
End of 2018.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe a lot of these titles will still be on the list at that point.
Oh, they might be.
Yeah, so Red Dead, definitely looking forward to it. We haven't really seen much about it, though.
All I know is it's a sequel to Red Dead, and that's really all you need to know.
Is it a sequel or is it a prequel? Because I thought it was about Marston's like original crew.
Yeah, so sequel, prequel, it's basically the successor game. Is that a better way to put it?
So it's Red Dead Redemption before the storm.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wonder how many lesbians it'll have.
Maybe a bunch.
Because my version of Life is Strange had at least three.
See, this is just a gay agenda. You're just turning everyone gay, man.
I'm happy to do it. Also, there was some entitled white men in it, which was fun to fight against. Moving on. For my 2018 list, I'm just picking these at random. You know what, honestly, I'm not expecting to actually have this come to fruition, but Kingdom Hearts 3. That shit has been on the slow burn for so long, and they've made reasonably confident noises that it's going to be this year. I don't know that I believe it, but I live in hope, because this will be the end of the first arc of the Kingdom Hearts story, as they've told us, after 20-odd games. And maybe once they get that all out of the way, they'll start a new story arc, which will make sense.
But half the games in the series are not the they're the decimal games. 1-5, 1-7-5, 1-7-6, 3-2-9.
They're all canon, and they're all referenced in each other. You can't miss any of them.
And you have to stop fucking buying these games when they re-release them, because they just keep doing this shit.
I don't think I do.
No, you do.
You have to keep buying it, because otherwise I will actively forget.
And they'll keep doing it, and it's bullshit. Stop this, like, 1.5 crap.
You know what? If someone can put out a story guide video on YouTube that is just all of the story scenes from all of the games, A, it will be 12 hours long.
No, it exists already, right? It has to
exist. It definitely exists per game, because I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but the 3DS game, Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, I got sick of it. So towards the end of the game, I just watched a story video for the last few things so I could see how it ended without having to play through that fucking annoying boss battle I was stuck on. So yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3, it's very pretty from everything they've shown. And I mean, they've shown scenes of like Toy Story being in it, and it honestly looked better than the original Toy Story movie.
I mean, that's not particularly hard.
Yeah, just, I mean, even then, like, it's a Japanese RPG. You don't expect the animation to be super kind of...
Yeah, but then Toy Story is a very, let's say, smooth experience. Mm. Everything is just simple, smooth. There's no real texturing in the Toy Story games. Toy Story movie, sorry. So it goes over well with the current level of graphical stuff. Like, it would just look nice and better now, especially in motion. Where you can control the motion than it would have in the movie. Just because of when it came out, when graphics were still very early for 3D movies. True.
It's depressing to think about how old Toy Story is.
Hmm.
But yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3, no subtitle, is the game that I'm looking forward to.
All the subtitles for the 14 games that come out after it.
Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue.
All right, I'm just going to cut you off there because talking about games that keep doing that bullshit to gamers.
I'm only a third of the way through the title.
I'm going to go with AoE Definitive.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that. I kind of want to play AoE again for some nostalgia and shit, because I've actually enjoyed AoE 1 more than AoE 2. So I'm happy to go back and play it and see how it is.
I thought that had come out.
It was going to come out and then got pushed back.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's right, because it was at PAX when we were there, wasn't it?
Yep, and I sat down and played it and went, yep, this is AoE, but it's not the kind of game you can just like see what the differences are, see how well it plays, and you've actually played it for 3 hours in one sitting. Yeah,
weird choice on their part to have it on the show floor. Yeah, I never actually played Age of Empires, so maybe this will be my chance.
Perhaps.
Because is it Age of Empires or Age of Empires 2 that was the one that used to come in like cereal boxes?
I don't actually know.
I remember it was just like, hey, buy a box of cornflakes and also you get this strategy game on a CD.
Because that was the time when I can't actually remember.
Yeah. Cool. Well, off the back of that, I will springboard into my game, which is also a remake. Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, okay. Yep. I never played the original because I didn't have a PS2.
I never played it on PS2 just because I couldn't find a copy. There was a remake on PS3
when they were doing the
HD remixes, which I got and I played a bit of, but because it was a faithful recreation, like the control scheme in that game was terrible because that's just what like Ico, Shadow of the Colossus and The Last Guardian are all like. The man who makes them, whose name I have forgotten, Fumito Ueda, I think? Yeah. Good at like concepts, not great at execution. So one of the things they've said with this remake is on top of being super pretty, it'll have a new control scheme that you can choose that actually adheres to human hands.
And is probably far more modern than...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think it was like you had to hold the circle button to hold on to enemies while also sort of spider crabbing your hand around the controller to do everything else.
Like the PS1 and 2 and Nintendo 64 and stuff, control schemes were still sitting back in the SNES and Mega Drive age. They hadn't really like worked out what you can do with modern controllers yet. Shit.
Yeah, pretty much. The footage I've seen of Shadow of the Colossus looks amazing. I don't think I could step back to the PS3 to play this game anymore, because it's just hard to go backwards like that sometimes, especially for a game that wasn't at the pinnacle of PS3 graphics to begin with, or PS2 graphics, I should say. So yeah, this remake, which I think is early in the year, should make for a pretty cool experience with all that environmental effects they can do now, and fog and textures and all giant that cool monsters. Shit. They have said that it won't include the extra content that was cut from the original game, so it'll still be the same experience, just prettier.
You should totally just have a switch you can flick on to add that content if you want.
Yeah. I think it was like there was two extra colossi they designed but never used. Something like that.
Should totally have a switch. Like, extra content enabled. Bang.
Yeah, or you know what? DLC costumes, because that always goes down real well. Just dress him up as Crash Bandicoot.
Exactly. The next game on my list is one that I didn't really know much about, but I had a look at it, at Jurassic World Evolution.
Oh, yeah, the one where you design a park that fails.
Yeah, you know, another, like, sim/RTS type game, all about this shit, and it's about Jurassic Park, so fuck yes, I'm in.
Fair enough. Yeah, I haven't seen much of this, other than a little bit of footage. All I know is that, yeah, you build a park and the park fails, and then you get to play out how that works.
I hope you can do, like, the SimCity thing where you can you build your shit so it's all good, and then you can just trash it with disasters, but with dinosaur disasters. So, like, I'm just going to let the T-Rex out and just let all hell break loose. That's what I want.
Yeah. So you're saying, like, something where you can cause a containment failure or literally just delete part of the fence?
Well, like, you know how, like, in SimCity, you basically, like, select a natural disaster and you just select from a list and hit go, and then it generates a disaster. Just something like that. Like, power failure, go, and just generates a power failure somewhere in the park.
Yeah.
Or all of the park, and then dinosaurs get out and start eating people. That is what I want.
Well, I mean, it is a very nice-looking game. Apparently, it's coming out in, like, June, so hopefully we'll see more of it before then. But you can register for the beta or something, I think. Ooh, I saw.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, I would recommend it. Yeah, cool. Well, I guess trying to make a thematic connection again. Jurassic World and Jurassic Park, the Jurassics are all about genetic modification, reviving dead creatures. So next on my list of games looking forward to in 2018 is Biomutant.
I don't know what that is.
Which is a game about, you play as this little raccoon thing, and the whole mechanic of the game is that you can cause mutations of your own body to gain new powers. And so it's sort of a way of customizing your character's look and abilities. So I don't remember all of them. I think it was you could give yourself wings or more powerful legs so you could jump higher, or the ability to kind of shoot spikes out of your arms, all these kind of cool things.
So basically just like going through a like skill tree, but it manifests physically in mutations in your body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you've got sort of customizable weapons because he has like a sword and a gun and stuff.
Of course. Yeah, pretty standard.
Different clothes and all this kind of stuff. And the visual style of it just looks amazing. It looks like, he kind of looks like Rocket Raccoon to begin with a little bit. But you can get sort of crazy colors and like just look like an absolute genetic dead end. And you explore like a big open world where your different abilities let you traverse in different ways. And there's vehicles, one of which was a giant robot hand that you rode on top of, which is amazing. I think I've talked about this in the podcast before. I saw footage where they used the weapon systems on the hand, and basically the hand made a gun and went pew out of its pointer finger.
It sounds a little bit like in the Deadpool game where you ride around in a boot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar to that. So yeah, it looks like it'll have really freaky monster design, and I'm legitimately looking forward to it. I don't think it has any kind of dates yet, but I'm super keen for it.
Well, the last game I've got on my looking forward to list is a game that I don't think really anyone knows what it's about at all yet. We've just had some mostly concept-y type art and generic kind of shit, but Anthem.
Okay, yeah.
I'm keen to see how this turns out. It might be a steaming pile of shit. It might not even come out this year, but I'm kind of keen to see where are they going with it.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of somewhere between Mass Effect in terms of content and The Division in terms of playstyle.
Yeah, I'm not really. But it's got like it reeks of like Destiny about it as well.
A little bit,
Seen,
yeah.
yeah. So we'll see how we'll see where this goes. It could be cool. It could be nothing. But they've at least got my attention when it comes to this game.
Yeah, when this was revealed at E3, I think.
Reveal is a strong word.
Well, yeah. When it was unveiled, I loved the look of it. You know, you get mech suits you can climb into, all this kind of cool stuff. And then when they started showing gameplay and it was like a squad-based co-op game, I immediately kind of lost interest a little bit. Because we've established I prefer to play games by myself. For the most part, I've never really had the co-op experience go well in groups. So, I don't know, like, if it has a strong single-player option, I might give it a try. Because it's something from the Mass Effect team, when Mass Effect's kind of taking a dirt nap for a while. I might enjoy it, but yeah. I think it's pretty strongly slated for this coming year. But, you know, it's a big game by the looks of it. Time will tell. So,
that's the last game. That's my list of five for me. Yep.
Yeah, the last one on my top five for the coming year. No way to connect it across to Anthem. I don't know, except this, the character it's based on does have his own anthem. Spider-Man has a new game by Insomniac. Looks really good. I want to play it. I'm done singing now.
That's good.
Yeah. It looks beautiful, even if the Spider-Man costume is a bit weird looking. You're fighting against Mr. Negative, so it's not another Goblin game. I'm just really keen for this open world, really intricate thing that looks like it's part Uncharted, part GTA, part awesome. I don't know. It looks really good. Spider-Man. And the combat system looks beautiful. Very sort of Batman Arkham in terms of its flexibility, but with like more cool flip-flopping around and shooting webs and sticking guys to walls and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, it just looks amazing. And
it does look cool.
I don't know if they've given any kind of time frame for when this year it's coming out. I'm just having a look. 2018, where are you? So I feel like if they'd announced any kind of date, I would just have it cemented in my brain. Spider-Man is not even a Q. Don't even have a quarter of the year it's planned for. Oh, no, sorry. Q1, Q2. So in the first 6 months of this year, they're expecting to release it.
Probably going to get pushed back, so I think more like Q3, 4.
I'm thinking, yeah, September, October, more than likely. But yeah, I can hold out for it because this is the team who made Ratchet & Clank and Sunset Overdrive. So Ratchet & Clank, excellent sort of level design, humor, and color scheme. Sunset Overdrive, really good open world design. That game did not get as much kind of praise as it should have. It was a bit juvenile, but it was a lot of fun. So, and it proved that they can do open world. I feel like Sunset Overdrive was maybe a test case to prove that they had the chops to take on a license like Spider-Man. And it seems to have worked out because now I get to play a Spider-Man game soon.
Yay.
Eventually. Sometime. One day. Yeah.
I feel like our honorable mentions maybe just quick fire through. I've got four here, so just give it a quick like name and then quick sentence as to what it might be. Yeah.
Go for it.
So the first one on my list is a game called FE. You are a cool little fox man in a great, like, super beautiful, heavily stylized world.
Yeah, super basic color palette. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I kind of want to see what the new Kirby game is like.
Yep.
The Smash one. That's fair. Just because Kirby's great. We need more Kirby in the world. It's on 3DS, so I don't really care about it. That's why it's an honorable mention. Yeah, I think it's just a DS title, which sucks.
Oh, like Kirby Clash Deluxe or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that one's just an expanded version of one of the mini games from the last Kirby 3D game.
Oh, well, take that off the list then. Give us
there
a proper...
is a new Kirby game coming out on Switch, though.
Yeah, give us a proper good Kirby game. That'd be awesome. Crackdown 3, just because I just want to see how this goes. if you know anything about Crackdown 1 and 2, then you'll be interested to see where this goes. And then Conan Exiles, the Dick Physics Simulator, is going into 1.0. So you have an official release swinging dick. To go with
nice.
All the boob, I guess simulation is the right word. that happens in various other games around the world. So now you got dicks swinging the free in the wind. Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, well, I can easily add a fourth to my list just to round it out. So, firstly, on my honorable mentions, Yakuza 6, because I've surprisingly gotten into the Yakuza games over the last year, 2 years since I started trying them out. And this one looks really beautiful, like a big step forwards for the series in terms of kind of modernizing their design. Love it. Also, the water and the neon looks amazing. Detroit Become Human, which is about robots uprising in kind of a story-based game from David Cage and Quantic Dream. It could be very good, could be kind of awkward. His games tend to go both ways at the same time. Find out soon. Metro Exodus, because I wouldn't have expected it, but I really enjoyed Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light. These kind of post-apocalyptic games set in the Eastern Bloc, a lot of underground sort of railroad stuff, the Metro, and cool mutant monsters. This one's more open world, so that could be a fun direction to take it all in. And lastly, The Inpatient, which is a new game by the Until Dawn developers, which is a VR experience in a mental hospital that is apparently somehow connected to Until Dawn, because part of it takes place in an abandoned mental hospital. So I guess we're going back to when that was still in operation. And
okay,
that could be really fun because they did like Scary Game really well, and having that in VR could actively make me piss myself.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Also, interestingly, I grabbed Hidden Agenda in the Christmas sales, which is a PS4 title by the same team again, which... so for Until Dawn, being kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure game where you could either save these kids or get them very... badly killed in this big mansion in the middle of nowhere, they found a lot of people were playing it rather than single player the way it was designed, you know, in a group kind of a party or whatever, everyone would just sort of pile in and sort of group decide which way to go, all that kind of stuff. So they built this game where it's the same sort of decision powered storytelling, but everyone connects with their phone and you can kind of vote on the decisions.
Okay. Yep.
And I think sometimes you'll get like ulterior motive missions where you've got to try and convince people to go one way or the other to get a personal reward. And it's all about trying to track down a serial killer. So also doing interviews and investigation and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, so I look forward to playing that as well. But that's not a game that's coming out in 2018. That already came out and it's sitting on my shelf right now.
Yay.
And you know what, just because I wrote down a list, I'm just going to read off the names of all the other games I wrote down, because it's a long list.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can skip over the ones that I've already said. Lost Sphere, Secret of Mana we covered, We Happy Few, Darksiders 3, God of War, Project Octopath Traveler, Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes, Fire Emblem, and Vampyr. And there's probably like 600 other games that I'll be looking forward to in the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the ones that I found on the list. So yeah, 2018 going in looks like it'll be a pretty packed year. But we all know delays happen, and it's entirely possible half of these games won't come out this year and we'll just be saying the same names in 12 months' time. Yep. As we go into 2019.
Oh, they'll turn out to be terrible. And
yeah. I mean, I was excited for Sonic Forces. I knew it would be bad. Bad, and it was. So that was not a surprise, but I still powered through. Because I'm a professional. But yeah, that pretty much does it for this week. So thanks for tuning in for your almost every weekly dose of the Indoorsman. We skipped Christmas. That was our gift to you and to ourselves. You're welcome. But we'll probably talk a bunch about video games and TV shows and shit in the coming year. Mm-hmm. So you can listen to us as much as you need to.
It didn't help that Christmas and New Year's happened to fall on like basically like the right day that we normally record on and around.
So not great.
That messed up everything. But yeah, if you like our opening and closing music, it's Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocket W. You can go to Bandcamp to find it, as well as basically anywhere else. Just Google that and you can find it.
Yeah, just walk out onto the street and like yell his name really loudly. He'll probably come and play it for you live.
You got that all wrong. You got to go in front of a mirror and say Rocket W 3 times and he shows up. Plays the music for you.
I almost did the joke.
Then kills you.
But I'm glad that you brought it up. Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, he will kill you afterwards.
He plays the song and then you clap and then he beats you to death with a Game Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Weren't we going to say we weren't going to, like, cause libel against the very nice man who made our music?
It's fine. It's clearly parody.
Oh, okay, fine.
It's all good.
So if you want to find us on the internet, unless you want to accuse us of any kind of crimes, like perjury, you can find us at indoorsmanpodcast.com or at indoorsmanpod on the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, which are all social media channels that we have and sometimes use, but not very much.
Remember, you can't commit perjury if you haven't been on the stand.
Good point. We're in the clear. We can say whatever we want. We're invincible.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, saying whatever you want, Star Wars sucked and Jumanji 2 was way better. Now you can find, if you want to get in contact with us on Twitter, you can contact us directly at Cliff and Monkey for me, at Ponk for Matt. And if you want to email us, you can get to us at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
You said bad words.
Last Jedi was not good. It was so very not good.
We'll circle back to that. we'd also love it if you could subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Podcatcher, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever else you can find it. Please do not let Cliff's movie opinions color your opinion.
It's not just me that thinks it sucks. A lot of people think it sucks. A lot.
Dear. But for now, I have been Matt.
I've been Cliff.
And by endorsement tradition, we will send you off into 2018 by saying it's not 2017. It's probably going to be all right.
But you say that, and then that is famous last words, and you will get repeatedly beaten to death by 2018.
Well, it's been like 14 hours and nothing's gone drastically wrong that I've heard about yet, so fingers crossed. I fear every day.